welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast for Stories for Joshua. It is day 38, and the title is Hippie with a Red Beard. I don't know if I can even paint the picture with words of the climate slash culture we lived in between 1970 and 1972. When I first really found God and then graduated from college and moved from football slash education, emphasis on football, to studying for the Christian ministry. From 1968 to 1972, my college years, the entire world turned upside down. The Vietnam War, protest about everything, the Haight-Ashbury district of the hippies in San Francisco, the birth of the hippie movement, psychedelic music and drugs, long hair, beards, rejection of normal values, Jesus movement, peace, love, rock and roll. It was a mind-bending time, to say the least. On the campus at East Carolina, from 1968 to 1970, our football team was pretty isolated and insulated from outside culture. Back then, players went home for the summer, unlike my two boys, who only got maybe 2 weeks at the end of the summer to come home. But in the summer of 1970, players went home to New York, New Jersey, Texas, and other places around the East Coast. And they were exposed to a brand new culture, including drugs. There were things that they had not seen in our sleepy little campus in Greenville, North Carolina, and they brought it back, brought it back with them to ECU in the fall. My junior year, in the fall of 1970, I even came back with long hair and a full beard. I knew I would have to shave it off because the coaches just didn't like long hair, or facial hair for that matter. You didn't have to be high and tight, like they say in the military, but pretty close. One coach even told us, "Boys, I got a theory about long hair." Then he spit some tobacco juice out of his mouth and said with a big grin, "I can run it off." Anyway, anyone with long hair or facial hair immediately went to the bathroom and shaved it off. I will admit that after I graduated, I grew a full beard and have had facial hair ever since. We only had about 4 players out of 70 on the football team who were African American. They were allowed to have mustaches because the coaches said it was a cultural thing. Of course, they did not know what they were talking about. They just didn't want to cause any waves at the time. The rest of us had to be clean-shaven and live in the dorms unless you were married. Even Philip Bilodeau of Philadelphia had to shave his face. Now, why is that a big deal? Because he was a redhead, a giant of a man, who would shave in the morning, and by 2 p.m., by our 2 p.m. practice, he looked like he had a 3-day growth on his face. Philip could grow a full beard in about 24 hours, but he had to be clean-shaven, just like the rest of us. Anyway, in the midst of all this, Earl and I were sharing our experience about God with everyone. A man from California named Jim, I forget his last name, came to Greenville to help with the ministry there. Jim was about 6'3 and skinny as a rail, blown away by a strong wind, as they would say, with a full red beard, handlebar mustache, which he constantly twirled with his fingers, hair down to his shoulders, and a chain smoker, non-filter, no less. Earl and I had the brilliant idea that we would take him up to the football dorm to talk to the players. Talk about naive. We were the epitome of innocence. At first, the players looked at him like, "Who the hell is this hippie?" But Jim had no fear and was an endearing guy, great personality. So as soon as he started talking, people listened. We were up there all afternoon, and at supper time, we made the totally illogical decision to take him to eat with us at the football player's dining room. Obviously, Jim stuck out like a sore thumb, and as soon as the manager saw him, he came over and said Jim had to leave. Now, here's the interesting part. The players protested. They wanted him to stay. These burly, hard-nosed players were standing up for the hippie. So we put some money together and paid for his meal, and he ate with us. We were fearless in those days, and God more than covered our naive mistakes. But it was a glorious time, and one I'm very proud to be a part of. There are many more stories that I will be sharing over the next few days, but for now, I'll just move on and save that for a later time.